David Finkel, writing regularly for the Huffington Post. I'm talking on Dave's Gone By with Dave Leskowitz at UNC Radio.
Here on the 10th annual Total Theater Tony Show on UNC Radio, we're going to another category, a big, big category, Best Revival of a Musical. And we got a big, big theater critic and writer to talk about that. He reviews for the Huffington Post. He also writes a biweekly column for the Clyde Fitch Report online. And he has written for the Village Voice on and offline since 1975. He's a member of the New York Drama Critics Circle, which means he is, in fact, a Tony voter. His name is David Finkel, and he's with us on the phone. Welcome, David.
Hello, Dave. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. Now, before we went on, you mentioned something about this being not a particularly exciting or even that good a season for you. What did you mean by that?
I meant that there weren't very many good plays or musicals presented to the public, in my estimation. There were some good things, but they were greatly outweighed by fair to poor, to worse than poor,
well,
offerings.
And more so than usual, you're saying?
It seemed to me there were certainly more musicals than usual in that category. The past couple of decades, the Tony nominators have had to scrape around to find even three nominees for certain categories. And musicals have suffered from that the most. But this year, though there were many musicals, I can't recommend too many of them to people who are now asked to pay so much money to come to see a show.
Would it be different, let's say, if top orchestra prices were $60 and everybody could get theater tickets for $15, $20, $25? Would you recommend things more? Does price play a part in your reviews and your estimation?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes to a couple of those questions. Say a musical isn't particularly good, but someone is giving a very good performance, or the score is particularly good, but the book of a musical isn't too good, I would say, you know, it's worth $50 or $60 or $25 to see this performance. Would I say it's worth $250, $400 to see a performance? Probably not. I don't think that people should be paying those kinds of prices, but they are.
We talked about some categories not having even enough to have four or five nominees, and we're coming right to one right now, Best Revival of a Musical. There are only three contenders. There's Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is the John Cameron Mitchell Stephen Trask musical, Les Mis, which is written by a whole bunch of people, and Violet, the Brian Crawley and Janine Tesori musical that was never on Broadway.
And of course, neither was Hedwig.
Oh, right, yeah, exactly.
Both Violet and Hedwig were small musicals. One of them done so off-Broadway, Hedwig, was done in a hotel.
Well, it was the Jane Street Theater is what they kind of called it, but
they
called
it the Jane Street Theater. It was in the Jane Hotel on Jane Street. And it was done very small, and now it's being done in a rather expensive production that is worth seeing, I think. Neil Patrick Harris's performance is phenomenal. The category of best leading man in a musical is one of the few that's tied up. I would say he's going to win without question.
Now, can I ask you, how would you compare him, if not ranking, how is he the same and or different from John Cameron Mitchell or anybody else that you saw as Hedwig off-Broadway years ago?
He's, in a way, much larger than life because he's on a much larger than life stage. I think much more money has been put into the costuming, into the wigs. They've turned a small show into a Broadway extravaganza to some extent. It's only one set, not that the set doesn't move, and there are all sorts of projections. So that's been rather well done. Violet, which was a small show, is still in a way small, which is not meant as a pejorative, but has not been enlarged in that sense. It's not far removed from a concert reading of the show.
Which it started as, wasn't it?
Which it started as when it was revived this past summer in the Encore series.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of Violet?
I have a major problem with Violet that I don't know whether I want to go into at length, but I will, because I've whetted people's interest, perhaps.
Uh-huh.
But it's about a woman with a terrible disfiguration. Her face has been initially a very frightening appearance to people. In neither the off-Broadway production nor the Sutton Foster now on Broadway, they ask you to imagine the disfiguration, and I think that that doesn't help the musical. On the other hand, Sutton Foster is a wonderful performer, and she sings wonderfully, and she's with very good people. And she's probably, along, I guess, with Kelly O'Hara and maybe Kristen Chenoweth, who's just been announced to come back to Broadway in a revival of On the 20th Century, she's probably been the busiest leading lady in a musical in the last decade.
Sure.
She's been in, I think, 6 or 7 shows. So she's remarkable, and she's also a terribly nice person.
Now, that shouldn't count, but it does, doesn't it? Can I ask?
Counts with me.
Lots of people love Les Mis. What are your thoughts on the latest Les Mis?
My thoughts on the latest Les Mis are, once again, they have redone it for the 21st century. I think it's well done. It's not a show that I've ever been particularly fond of. It's got some wonderful songs, but to me it's a Cliff Notes version of the Hugo novel, but it's, I think, well done, with projections. My favorite part was when Javert is chasing Jean Valjean through the Paris sewers, and the projections show the Paris sewers in a very cinematic way.
Now, real quick question, are you at all disappointed or annoyed that neither Cabaret nor the Audra McDonald vehicle Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill got a nomination for Best Revival, since there would have been room?
Well, Cabaret, which is to some extent a carbon copy of the previous Sam Mendes production, I'm not disappointed in that. And I also think that, unfortunately, Michelle Williams, who's quite a good actress and has proved herself on screen many times, simply is not good in Cabaret, and she's also, I think, very poorly cast. It's a bad idea, but Cabaret has another real problem. To my way of thinking, the Christopher Isherwood stories, Welcome to Berlin, and there's the one story called Sally Bowles, is about a talented singer who has no talent. The minute you make a musical of Sally Bowles, you have to have somebody sing well, or it just doesn't.
It becomes tough to hear
a leading lady sing poorly. And so, to me, it's built into it. But put that aside, because it is a musical and it has been wonderful. Liza Minnelli on screen was probably, at this point, the definitive Sally Bowles, and someone would have to be almost as good as that. And Natasha Richardson won a Tony for doing it, but I always thought that Natasha Richardson was far too intellectual of Sally Bowles. Hmm. And probably the best Sally Bowles is the one who did it on Broadway and in the movie, which was not a musical, was Julie Harris.
Oh, wow.
That was the right Sally Bowles.
Real quick about Lady Day.
I went into Lady Day thinking, why is Audra McDonald doing this? She's got a classically trained soprano. She's not going to sound like Billie Holiday. She has nothing like that voice. It's not the voice we know. And out she comes. She opens her mouth and instantly sounds exactly like Billie Holiday.
Yes.
Which I think surprised every one of us who review, and probably anybody who's ever been a fan of Billie Holiday and didn't expect this. She gives a remarkable performance. It's, to my way of thinking, the best performance by a female on Broadway this season. And maybe one of the top 2 or 3 performances. There were a lot of good performances from men and from women, too. But then Tyne Daly's good, and Mark Rylance was remarkable in his in both of his Shakespeare productions. But the thing about Lady Day at
Emerson's Bar and Grill.
Grill is that it's not a musical. It's a character. It's not a play either, really. It's a character study of a woman losing control of herself.
Okay.
During which she sings 15 songs associated with Billie Holiday and sings them so beautifully, you're just sitting in your seat glowing from the performance. But it's not a musical. It's a play with music.
It has more songs than Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
It may. And
double, almost, actually.
Factually, it probably does. And I suppose it comes down to semantics in the way I'm talking about it. I know the producers want to think of it as a play with music, which is why Audra McDonald has been nominated in the category for Best Female Performance, not Best Female Performance in a Musical. And maybe they did that because she thought she had a better chance in that category. I don't know. You could be cynical and suspect that. But I would agree with them that it is a play with music, and therefore she should be nominated in the play category.
I need to wrap up here with David Finkel. Just to be sure, are you predicting that Hedwig will win Best Revival? And I assume you want it to, of a musical.
Well, that's your assumption.
Okay.
You know what? I'm not predicting that. I don't even know how I'm going to vote yet, because I have to think it over. But I would rank each of those revivals at the moment equally. So it's hard to say. I think that this year, in some ways, and certainly in the musical categories, when Bullets Over Broadway, which we all thought was going to be the hit of the season, turned out to be so sort of uneven, it threw everything up in the air. By far, the best musical of the season is A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. Of the revivals, some wonderful things were done with Les Mis and Hedwig. His performance and the performance by Lena Hall as well are extremely good, and they thought it through very nicely. And I could really give you good arguments for all of them, and including Violet. They all have their points, and they're all their qualifications for winning. The other thing you always have to keep in mind is whatever wins Tonys can have a lot to do with the presenters on the road. Those are the people that put on touring companies around the country. They have a large block of votes, and it makes sense that they generally will vote for what they think they can sell in Dayton and Cleveland and St. Louis and et cetera.
Well, that would be Les Mis then.
It could very well be Les Mis, although Les Mis has probably toured the country so many times that they may think, well, we don't need another tour of that. Let's try something different. And I don't know whether Violet and Hedwig have been around the country or not, but that plays a large part in how the voting goes.
Well, at least you, as a critic, get to vote your conscience, which is the main thing, and to really struggle with yourself, you know, not just eeny, meeny, miny, moe it, but really care.
But the irony there is that a couple of years ago, the Broadway League decided to drop a lot of the press, claiming that the press was prejudiced. Why that would make sense, I don't know. But subsequently, the members of the New York Drama Critics Circle were reinstated as the only members of the press who do vote now. It may be because they thought they didn't have a large enough block. That has to be kept in mind. It'll be fun to see what wins, because so much is up in the air this year, that aside from Neil Patrick Harris, I don't know who I predict for in any category, or what I would predict in any category.
Well, all we can predict is that the Tonys are going to be happening June 8th.
They'll be happening on June 8th, yeah, and I'm hoping to be covering them this year. And we'll be up in the press room.
Oh, nice.
Talking to the winners when they come up after they've won.
You'll be doing that for HuffPo, right?
I will probably put it on the Huffington Post, although I might write about it in my column for the Clyde Fitch Report, in my column called The Aisle Seat, by the way.
The Aisle Seat?
Of course, I'm always sitting in an aisle seat.
Well, that's one of the glories of being a critic.
It is, and then that way I can stretch my legs.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for stretching your voice and your mind and your legs with us here in the neighborhood on our Tony Show. Please, everybody, go read David Finkel at the Clyde Fitch Report, at Huffington Post, at the Village Voice, and look for him on the aisle. Thank you, David, for being with us.
Thank you, Dave. Great to talk to you.
You too.
Bye for now.